off. Shoots it, deflected right in. Pietrangelo save rebound. Stastny stopped by Pietrangelo. I don't believe that save. Neither does Peter Stastny. He can't believe the save that Pietrangelo just made on him as Frankie sparkling on that maneuver there to stop and rob Peter Stastny. He should get 5-10 for that.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of Tenty Talk, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the BLPA Podcast Networks. I'm your host Joe, better known as Wash Up Goalie on social media. This week, I'm excited to chat with Latvian-born Nashville Predators and Milwaukee Admirals prospect Gustavs Grigels, I think I pronounced that right, of the ECHL's Atlanta Gladiators. We chat about growing up in Latvia, then coming to North America, and so much more. So, without further ado, let's get to the conversation with Gustavs. All right. Hey, Gustavs, thanks for joining me on the podcast. It's fun to get the first goalie from the Atlanta area since I've moved down here. So that's kind of fun. So thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to me.
Thanks for having me.
You know, so usually I start by asking guys how they got into hockey, but you're from Latvia. You know, so even before we get into the hockey side of it, what do you think coming from Latvia to playing hockey in the south of the U.S.?
I mean, it's been my seventh season in the U.S. now. Yeah. So, my first year I played in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So that was my first southern experience, which was it was pretty big change for me. Really, we just in Shreveport we had a big arena, nothing else around. I think Dallas was the closest city that we had the hockey that you can go to a pro shop or something. So that was kind of interesting for me, not gonna lie. But now after six seasons of and now seventh, and now coming back to South Atlanta, there's still some hockey left from the old Thrasher days, and it's nice.
Yep.
I like it a lot. So yeah.
I play quite a few of my beer league games over at the Ice Forum, where I know you guys practice. And I grew up in Chicago, lived in Minnesota the last 23 years. So yeah, coming down south was a bit of a shock for me. But to your point, there's quite the dedicated hockey community here in the Atlanta area, and it was better than I anticipated. A nice surprise.
Yeah, of course. The community, as you said, the community is it's great. I like it. I love it.
Yeah. So before we get too much into Atlanta hockey, you know, as I mentioned, you're originally from Latvia. You know, you're a kid growing up there. How did you get into the game of hockey?
So my dad played or still kind of plays the hockey. He's been playing hockey since I remember. So I remember my mom was telling me this story when I was two years old. I got into my brother's rollerblades that was left in his room, and then started doing that. And then they took me ice skating. I loved it. And yeah, since age of three, I've been on the ice. So that's how I got in, never got out of it. So yeah, that's how I started.
So you start young in part to your dad playing. What drew you between the pipes? You know, I know Latvia has, it may be a short list, but a list of some phenomenal goaltenders from Arches, Erbe, you know, Elvis, and some of the others. What drew you between the pipes?
So from as much as I know, my coach asked our team who wants to go in the net, and I was the only one who raised his hand. So that's how I got into net, and yeah. Been in the net since I think age of five, so been a while.
That was kind of a similar thing for me. I went to tryouts and they just, hey, anybody want to try goalie? And immediately my hand went up, and of course the coach on the ice at the time that brought me the goalie stick in the gloves, you know, for that little scrimmage at the end of tryouts. I was just wearing player gear, wearing those gloves. It was squirt hockey, so it wasn't a big deal. But that particular coach was a coworker of my dad's, and the next day at work, my dad had a few words for him, like, "How could you do that to me?" He's like, "I thought we were friends." So, you know, you start playing in Latvia again. It's a country that I don't think people realize the appreciation for the game of hockey there. And I said a previous guest of mine was from Latvia, and he came over here when he was 12 with his dad. He now lives out in Colorado as a firefighter, Keith Sanders. But, you know, he kind of educated me on hockey in Latvia. It's bigger than I think people would anticipate. So coming up through the ranks, you know, how did that go for you? Because I know eventually you made it onto the junior teams.
I would say it's once the hockey championship starts, like the World Hockey Championship in May, the whole country is supporting their team, their country, and everyone kind of chips in and becomes a fan of Latvian hockey. And like when you look at the numbers, I would say if you just look at how many players we have, how many kids are playing hockey, it's not so much if you compare it to Canada, US, other big countries like Czech Republic and stuff. It's somehow I think it's the character. There's so much character and love and passion for the sport. And for myself, I remember growing up and looking at these, we had the World Hockey Championships back in 2006 back home. I remember a couple of highlights from seeing they're like my heroes. And growing up, I would say I was more of the fan of the national team, or try to make the national team, rather than, I would say, NHL at that moment.
Yep.
And that's how I think that's what kind of motivates me, or I have something to look up to. And that's how it was. Of course, once you make the junior national team and stuff, it goes on. But basically that's what I did. And that's what our whole country is. They're so passionate about the hockey and the national team that it's crazy.
Well, and to your point, Latvia is a smaller country. So numbers-wise, doesn't have the players that you see in North America. But when you look at the number of players participating in the game of hockey, because you got youth, boys, girls, adult hockey, the number of players participating compared to the size of the country, it's pretty big, you know. So that is cool. And the national team being so important. I know, was it this year at the championships when the Latvian team, you know, made a run, and how big it was. And even though they didn't win at all, just the way they celebrated and appreciated where they were. You don't see that with every country, you know, and especially the Canadians and the Americans, like gold or nothing. But for the Latvians, there's that passion that you talked about of just loving the game.
Exactly. And yeah, this year when they won the bronze medal, it was crazy. And even for guys like me or other guys that were cut last from the team, it was something incredible to see, and everything that we had to go through before and that the guys went through. And it's crazy what how important that third place, like the just a medal, meant for the whole country. And
right,
and actually that, like, I don't know if you know about basketball, but our team Latvia went to World Cup in basketball and finished fifth. And that was like, we just, the whole country did the same thing. Like, they finished fifth in the world in the basketball, which is even more bigger. Yep. And it was crazy. But I agree. I'm from Riga, so it's where all the parade happened. And it's such an emotional day for everyone in Latvia.
And that's what I was going to say. It was like, correct me if I'm wrong, they made it a national holiday for the parade so that people could take the day off, you know, for winning the bronze medal. Where here in North America, you know, the U.S. won, and it was just like, okay, you know, they won. They're going to go home. They're going to have their medals. They're going to celebrate with their families. But there was no national parade. There was no national celebration. And we won the whole darn thing.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's like every year, you know, you have a chance for I don't know, for us, it was, we go there, and even if before that, it was, even if we made the quarterfinals, it felt like we won, like we did such a great job, you know?
And, yep.
And like coming from, like, I've talked, like, there's always people back home that says that it's incredible that we're still in the elite, like in the top mm-hmm. division for 20 plus years. I think it's since 1997, we're in top division, and all of these big countries have, like, except for like US, Canada and stuff, they have like got eliminated from the top division mm-hmm. and we're still there. And we have only like 1.8 million people in country. So it speaks a lot about, I think it speaks a lot about the character and yeah.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So you're coming up, you're playing in this hockey culture, and you mentioned, you know, playing for the national team was your goal, you know, as a young kid. At what point did you realize you had a shot to wear that Latvian sweater?
So it first started with like under 16, under 17, mm-hmm. When you make the national teams there. And then the big thing was in my first under 18s world championship with year olders. Mm-hmm. We played in Switzerland, and then the same year I made the under 20 world championship with 2 year olders. And then because of the not so many players around, you kind of, there's no other players that can actually, like, yeah. You know, like for your age, you know that for under 18s, there's, let's say, 50 players.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple young guys. And then for under 20, there's maybe same amount of players or even less. And you know that there's like, there's no one else that will, like, there is, of course, there's a competition, but like, the main core usually stays the same.
You know how you stack up. It's not like here in the US where, you know, you've got your hockey hotbeds of Minnesota, Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois. And you know where you compare to those guys, but you don't know about that kid that's, you know, hiding in North Dakota that somebody just comes up across and sees. And now, okay, now that they took your spot, you know, you have an idea of who your competition is pretty young.
Yeah, exactly. And for us, it's till age of 18, 19, you can still kind of compete back home and play. But yep. After, even before that, you have to leave and go to US or other countries to play, because we don't have a junior teams that, at least I was in I got to play in a junior team competing in the Russian league, but since the war started, it all like folded. So now it's,
yeah,
guys have to leave, and you kind of, you know, who's doing good and who's playing in these good leagues, and you kind of understand your competition. So going back to your question, when did I know, it comes from those junior national teams. And of course I was in a practice roster for the men's mm-hmm. national team since I was in that world junior age, like 20 years old. So yeah, I've been into the couple national team camps. So you're always there, and then 1 year you make it as a third goalie, the next year you have a chance maybe to become a second goalie, and still you have to go through some adversity, and
yep,
just, you have to stay humble and just keep grinding, and that's what I'm doing so far. So
well, and again, Latvia has turned out some, you know, pretty darn good goalies. So when they get hot, you know, I mean, for years it was Archie Acerbe, and you know, but you can go through the list, and it's almost a who's who of European goalies. So you alluded to the fact that at some point, if you want to continue the progression, you do have to come to North America. You know, what was that decision like, and how did you navigate that? You know, you said you wound up in Shreveport. You know, how did you get hooked up with that the team down there to make the trek over?
So my junior year was going, I played 2 years juniors back home. So, mm-hmm. And I knew that it was pretty hard for me to go from juniors to KHL team that we had. And so I was leaning towards going to college, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go to the US. And he's a Latvian coach who coaches in RPI right now. His name is Carlos Zernis, and he helped me a lot. And he has helped so many Latvians to transition into US, and so much goes to him for helping, like in this case for me. And yeah, that's how it happened. Like, he approached me, asked me if I want to come to the US, and actually he was the coach for Shreveport at that time.
Okay.
And so in the summer I was going to the USHL camp, and they invited me for the main camp. And a week before the main camp, they called me and said that they don't need me anymore. So my tickets were booked to Chicago, I think, at that time. So I had to rebook them to Louisiana, because Carlos called me and he said, it's all right, he'll just come and play for me. And that's what I did. And it was a great time there.
So we touched on a little bit. You're growing up in Latvia, which is a northern climate country. Winter is, you know, what we think of European winter, nice and cold and snowy. And you wind up in Shreveport, Louisiana, where even as an American, we're like, that's a whole different country down there. You know, they got, they're speaking a different language in that Creole Cajun accent. The food's fantastic, but it's a different world. It's a culture shock. When you got down there, where you're like, what did I sign up for? Where am I? You know, were you on the phone like, Mom, come get me?
Actually, no. I'm not that type of person who will kind of find excuses or like call everyone right away, and I'll just see how it is. And I got lucky with my billets. Kevin and Sydney, they took care of me so well, and and yeah, it was a little bit, maybe hockey wise, it was a little bit different because of the arena we had. That was the only second year of the team, so it was just they're getting to settle in. But we played well. Our team was great, and the guys were great, and we ended up winning the championship, the national champion, championship. So, I mean, all the positivity. If you win, I mean, nothing really bothers you at that time. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. As you said, food was great, and you had to go through some adversity at some point, but it was all, you only learn from that. So, yeah, it was a great time. I really appreciate the time I spent there.
So playing in the Knoll, you probably played in the showcase at the Super Rink in Minnesota, correct?
In the Blaine, Minnesota.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That was the rink I used to play beer league at before I moved down here. So that was kind of my shock, you know, skating at the world's largest rink with 8 sheets of ice. And then I get down here and there's only 7 in the whole metro area, not including Gas South. And my daughter's like, why are your games so late? I was like, because there's 7 sheets of ice, and where I used to skate had 8, and there were 2 more sheets right down the road. And then there were, you know, and she's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's like, cause they still have to let the kids play and they have a bedtime. I like to be in bed early, but it's like, they don't care about that, making the beer league schedule down here. But yeah,
exactly. It's like same back home, same thing. There's guys that love hockey and they'll play it at 11 PM. And that's what is so great about the sport, that there's people that actually will do it and go to the work next day, and
yeah,
they don't. Well, and that's so great. But I have a story, like I have a story about the way we went to plane from Shreveport.
Yeah,
we took a bus there, and we had like 30 guys on the team, because it was like beginning of the year, and we still had like more people on the team that we like that usually have.
Yeah.
And so because of that many guys, we had bunk beds, like a sleeper bus, so we had to double up on those. Like it was crazy. It was like 20 it took us 24 hours. It was the craziest bus ride I ever had, but we made it there. And then I think once we left Blaine, we had a little bit less guys on our team, and it was still a treat. And of course, another story about the, like, there's so many like things that went wrong with the bus sometimes, mm-hmm. because of the weather. It was so hot that one time our bus, like the tire, it went up, it lit on the fire. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
And it like rolled off the bus, and it went into the grass that was so dry that it started a fire. So we got off the bus, we look back, and there's just big like kind of smoky, like a little bit fire, like a little bit fire, like just in the middle of the highway, which was, it was like something like that you don't see.
No,
I don't know where you can see that, but it was
very few places.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're down in Shreveport, but you said you came to North America because you wanted to go to college. Exactly. And you wind up at Alaska Fairbanks. Now you talk about going from one extreme to the other. You know, you're down in, I don't even call it the deep South. It's in the Cajun South, and you go basically the North Pole. I mean, right next to Fairbanks is North Pole, Alaska. I know one of my college friends lives up there, so I know this. And winter is completely different than in Shreveport. You know, the sun sets and it doesn't come up for a while. You know, there's moose walking through people's backyards. What was that experience like for you up in Alaska?
It was a little bit different when you go from spending Christmas in flip-flops and shorts to having snow in the beginning of the October. But I don't know. I liked it. Like, of course, it's a big change, and you have to kind of work around it. And we had I think my freshman year was the first 2 years, I would say, was the hardest ones, because you're not used to it. You're like, you go there and it's dark, it's snowy, it's cold. But at the same time, I loved it. I don't know why. I loved it. My goal was to play hockey or play in college and play in my freshman year, you know, and I can say only positive stuff about all that. Yeah. And of course, seeing moose and thinking it's like, I'm like, yeah, moose. I see mooses every day. Like, there's not a big deal. And we had this one time my freshman year, we had an earthquake that was, I got up and my bed was shaking and like hitting the closet. And I got up, I was like, oh, what is this? Like, is someone messing with me? And my roommate goes, no, it's an earthquake. I'm like, all right, that's a, like, what can I do? Like, I'm not going to panic, you know? And I texted my mom. I was like, yeah, we got an earthquake. Like, got up this morning. Like, she's all like, you know, like mom's like, she's a little bit stressed out. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know what happened. It's just an earthquake. And so, yeah, it was a fun time. Of course, you don't see sun much in at some sort of at some period of time, but over the years, the travel schedule got better. My senior year, the travel schedule was great, and I loved it. And going to and being independent and playing these big schools, it was so much fun. And yeah.
Yeah, you talk about the earthquakes. Most people don't realize that Alaska has so many earthquakes. It's just, we don't talk about them because there's, in that great big state, not a lot of people. So they don't affect people the way they do in the lower 48, because the buildings aren't as big either. So the destruction when it does happen is very minimal. So, you know, you're in Alaska and you said it was a bit of adjustment. I'm sure not just the weather, but balancing being a student athlete at the college level. So I always like to ask the student athletes, what did you study in Alaska? You know, what was your area of focus?
I studied just business with concentration in finance and sport management.
Okay.
So that's kind of usual for, I think, for us to study.
Yep.
And for me, it was my second year in the US, and my English wasn't that great, and I kind of was scared to pick anything else at that moment. But I don't regret it at all.
I had a lot of teammates that were business majors. We only had one pre-med player. In fact, that was Brian Trottier, the NHL great. It was his son was pre-med, and now he's a doctor. But there weren't many of us that were smart on the team. I'll put it that way. We weren't setting any school records for highest team GPA. That's for sure.
Yeah, we had I think a couple engineer students, at least one that I live with. He was an engineer student, but the problem was that it's so strict that you can't it's so hard to combine, especially with travel. So much traveling, and he couldn't finish it. He went to his school and he couldn't finish his degree because of that. And I think that's kind of a downside if you want to do that, you know. But it's so great if you do it. Like it'll pay off.
So you're in school during the COVID time, so I know you get that extra year. But your last year, you transferred to UMass Lowell. What was the reason for the transfer?
I wanted to try something new. We had the COVID year that we had to sit out, and then I thought that trying somewhere, maybe going somewhere else with a different view and different exposure to the scouts and to everyone else would be good for me. And of course, it was a hard decision because not everyone can do it and do it successfully. And for me, it's just I thought that my time in Alaska was close to over, and I wanted to do my MBA as well somewhere else maybe. And it was a great time in Alaska, and I appreciate everything they did for me.
Yeah, and Lowell, Mass is not a bad place either. You know, little more sunlight in the winter, not as much snow. At times it can be as cold, but, you know, not for as long, so that there is that.
Yeah, and of course, and my priority was I wanted to go somewhere where I can be an impact player and we can go and have a chance to compete for like Hockey East title and national championship and stuff. So that's why I picked UMass Lowell as well.
Now you mentioned with Alaska, the great thing about that is it was an independent school. So, you know, your schedule could be different every year. You go to UMass Lowell, they're in Hockey East, a storied conference, you know. What was that like to just have those rivalries that Alaska maybe didn't have anymore because they are independent? You know, you go in some of these buildings and they already hate you just because of the jersey you're wearing.
Yeah, it was a lot different. Like you can say like rivalries, of course, schedule, you're in a conference, but of course travel as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember like playing like I remember going in, and even in the summer, like the way our coach Norm Basin talked about playing against BU and stuff, and hearing all these stories from other guys, like playing UMass, and it just kind of pumped me up. I wanted to play them, and you had something in like I had something in me turning that I was ready to go. And it's different. It's different feeling. And actually the first 2 years in Alaska, we had the same thing when we were in the conference there. We were in WCHA, where of course Anchorage was our big rival, but there's so many schools that we didn't like because we didn't like them and they didn't like us. So yeah, it was nice to feel bad, feel that competitive, more competitive side for a change again.
Yep. I remember in high school, I went to an all boys private high school in Chicago, played in the Catholic League. And we had these schools that were our rivals. One of them was a mile and a half away from where my school was. Most of my teammates from youth hockey went there. And if we were playing each other in a week, it was like, you're my mortal enemy. I hate you. Don't talk to me. You know, but as soon as the game was over, it was like, okay, we're friends again. It's okay. You know, we can talk again. But it was just because we were playing each other and they decided to go to that school. Like, we were mortal enemies for that week. And that was that.
Yeah. We don't have that type of high school hockey thing back home.
Yeah.
So when I first was introduced to stuff they do, like how they do it in the US, I was kind of surprised, and it was so interesting for me because the only things we do, we play against other high schools are like stuff like basketball or floor, it's like floorball, which is or whatever, different sports other than hockey. And yeah, I've never had that experience where I was, that's my teammate of this, like outside of the school, and now I have to play against him for my school. It's kind of weird, but yeah.
So you've probably, because you played in the WCHA, heard of the Minnesota High School Hockey Tournament, right?
Yeah.
And how crazy that is. They're in section play right now, and they'll be playing next week. I'll have to send you, because they stream those games online. But one of the local TV stations, you know, broadcast the games. I'll have to send you the link to watch those games this week, because the championship games, they'll fill the XL Energy Center where the Wild plays, 18,000 fans. And the school my kids used to go to won the single A tournament last year. And it's crazy. You know, it's not like high school hockey down here by any chance. My daughter was very confused when we moved down here, and she's like, my school doesn't have a hockey team. This is weird. Like, what's going on? She's like, we have an equestrian team where you can ride a horse around, but we don't have a hockey team. I was like, again, child, there's 7 sheets of ice. There is a hockey team. It's just every school in the county as one. And she's like, oh, okay. I get it now.
Yeah. It's a little bit different, a little bit change.
Yeah. So your move around, you know, going to UMass Lowell, it worked out because once school was over, you know, you didn't have to just go back home to Latvia. You know, the Preds saw you and, you know, they signed you to a minor league deal. You've played quite a few games in Atlanta this year. You've been called up a number of times to Milwaukee. Growing up in Chicago, I have feelings about Milwaukee. But that's that's a different story. I call it Chicago North. You know, so it worked out for you to make that move. So I guess my question is, when Nashville came knocking, you know, were there other teams, first of all? And, you know, how has it worked out for you? I mean, I know from a professional side, you know, seeing the numbers, you're playing well, but you know, how do you think it's worked out?
I think it's worked out great for me so far. Nashville is a top-notch organization. Mm-hmm. Can't say much more. Like, it's so, everything they have given to me since the day I signed with Milwaukee has been great, and I love it. And even the in the summer training, I went there 2 weeks before the camp started in Nashville and skated with the guys, saw the like everything. Like I could use their facilities and stuff, and it's been great so far. And the communication with the goalie department has been outstanding. And yeah, it's yeah. And when my season ended in Lowell, of course there is a little bit of talk. You know, there's I think it didn't go as so fast. It didn't go fast. It was just I think 2 weeks after I made my decision and stuff. And yeah, I'm happy about that. I made signed with Milwaukee, and yeah, so far it's been so great. All good for me.
Now, whenever I think of Milwaukee, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Wayne's World, but the great rocker Alice Cooper, he's like, "Oh, Milwaukee, it's Algonquin for Milwaukee," meaning the good lands. It's just one of the great scenes in that movie. It's just because it's so offbeat. But you know, to your point, Nashville has a great reputation for taking care of players. Or there's a reason, you know, a lot of guys stay there for as long as they do. You know, that they don't tend to sign elsewhere unless they're traded or the team just has no plans to bring them back. In fact, my buddy Bonesy, Dustin Smith, he's their emergency backup. And we almost moved to Nashville instead of Georgia. And he was helping me find beer league teams in the event that we did move there. in fact, when the Gladiators signed their deal with Nashville this summer to be their ECHL team, I was messaging Bonesy going, "So are they going to need an e-bug? Because, you know, I'm available. I'm not too far from Gas South." And he started laughing. But, you know, part of your season has been going back and forth between Milwaukee and Atlanta. How have you been able to navigate that and just kind of find your routine and stick to it? Because when you've been here in Atlanta, you've kind of been the go-to guy. But when you go up to Milwaukee, then you're more in that backup role, just kind of waiting. How have you been able to manage that balance?
It's kind of, I mean, it's just different. I would say it's just traveling the first, like it's nice to get called up, but you want to play. And that's what my thing is. I want to play. And yeah, it's, I love it. Like every time I get a call up, it's great. Like, you know, you're getting called up, which is great. And you hope you're going there to play and stuff. And, I end up playing one game, but, yeah, I mean, I'm part of their team, so I love it. And every time I go up there, and it's nice to work with the guys or with the coaches, and I'm just waiting for my shot and seeing things I need to work on or improve. And once my chance comes, I'm ready to take bull by the horns, you know. And and of course, I went there, been up there three times, and all three times it's been kind of interesting. A travel day where I have to get in and be a backup and, you know, sit those games and
but
it's, I can only say positive things about like Milwaukee, how they treat me. And every time I get called up, how they set up everything. And it's been great so far.
Well, and to that point too, if you, even if you don't get to play in the games, you're still practicing with them and, you know, practicing with better competition, which only makes you better in the, you know, long run anyway. In fact, my dad was visiting earlier this winter and we, and you guys were in town. I can't remember who you were playing. I just remember that Mike Vernon's son was the other goalie, and
Jacksonville.
Yeah. And so, you know, we get to the game and my dad used to have Blackhawks season tickets and then he had Chicago Wolves season tickets. So he, you know, he knows there's going to be a drop off and he goes, "Okay, so between the AHL and the ECHL, what's the big difference?" He said, "Really the biggest difference is passing." He said, "Other than that, they're just as fast. Shots are just as hard. Hits are a little more plentiful and fights are a little more plentiful, but that's because guys are trying to make a name." I said, "But really it's the passing's the biggest difference." You know, would you agree to that?
Yeah. Like passing, maybe just the flow of the game. When I go to Milwaukee and even just practicing or watching the games, just the decisions are a little bit more crispier, and the flow of the game is a little bit, yeah, passing. Like, yeah, that's what it is. Passing, it just keeps the game in the flow, and the shots are the same. Yeah, maybe yeah. Some creativity is a little bit. There's a little bit more creativity where in the ECHL. There's players that are ready for AHL and they're good enough. But there's the average player is a little bit not as skilled, maybe not as fast as AHL. That's why they're in AHL.
Right.
There should be a gap. Otherwise, they should combine both leagues. But yeah, I agree.
Well, and one of the things we've started seeing too is the ECHL today isn't viewed the way it was 10 years ago. Teams are starting to use it as that development team as it should be. And so, you know, we see it a lot with goalies where a team will send maybe their fourth string goalie down to the ECHL team so that they're playing rather than sitting. I'm sure that's probably true with, you know, some of what could be a fourth line player in the AHL, or do they want them getting more playing time? But I want to ask this question. What's been the best part about playing pro hockey, aside from not having to go to class every day?
The best part about playing pro hockey? It's a good question. I think it's the best job in the world, I would say. It's you only work 4 hours a day basically, or maybe five, and work out and skate and stay in shape. I would say that's the best part of the game, and yeah, for sure. I've been just a couple months in it, so it's hard to say for me right now. sometimes I miss school, where I had some, like, actually, I miss sometimes going to the class at 6 o'clock, which was sometimes fun because you learn something, you talk to your professor, if it's a nice professor, like, you know, cool professor you can talk to, and if it's
that
something
routine.
you want to learn something, yeah, like that's what I would miss from maybe college, is more routine based. But yeah, I love it. I've been only a couple months in pro hockey, so it's hard for me to say right now.
I've actually heard that from some guys where they say, you know, you go from college hockey and even juniors, you're still going to school, and then you go pro hockey and, you know, you get your 4 or 5 hours of work in, and then you have the rest of the day. And it's like, what do I do? And that's where some guys fall into eating too much, drinking too much, you know, whatever, they get into that. It's like they need that routine. They need every hour of the day filled. Otherwise it's like, what am I supposed to do with my time here? And that,
exactly.
That's why a lot of guys wind up playing video games too. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. As a Hawks fan, placing a futures bet to say they're going to get a top 3 lottery pick might be in my future. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsible. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and NHL Shield are restricted trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Yeah, and I would see this. I remember learning this from because I played when I played juniors in Louisiana. I was done with high school, and that was the year that I took kind of off and just played. And it was the same thing. I went to the practice, came home at like 12:31, and didn't do anything. And now I learned from that experience where I like to come home and find a way to improve myself, find a way to, I don't know, learn something new and every day. And if it's like picking up an instrument with like you can start playing guitar, that a lot of guys like it or something like that, or you can learn about portfolio management or some kind of take some certificates and becoming a real estate agent or something like that. Just keep growing as a person.
Well, and I've seen too on Instagram, you know, you've also been exploring Atlanta. You know, there's so much to do here. I've only been here since the end of May, and we've done hardly any of the stuff that we want to because of different reasons, but there's so much to do and see here, which makes that nice too. You know, you can make those day trips around town and explore all the cool stuff.
And, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I did, as you probably saw, went to the aquarium, went to the zoo.
The aquarium was amazing. Like, I've been to aquariums, but I went there. I was like, I want to come. I want to buy a pass. I want to come back like every week. This is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. I love it. And other stuff, seeing just Atlanta. And actually, I don't know. I think those 4 years when I lived in Alaska, of course, we saw a lot of stuff, but it was more hockey based. And last year in Lowell, I started going to Boston and seeing all the stuff in Boston. I just fell in love with it. And this year too, with Atlanta being right next to it, because we were a little bit outside of Atlanta, and just going there and seeing, like, finding new places to, I don't know, have coffee or see, or just learning about the culture in general.
Yeah, my kids, one of their promises on my birthday was, because I like to go on hikes and just explore places. So like, all right, we agree to at least one hike every other month. So we've been planning out where we want to go hiking. Because there's the one place, Tallulah Gorge. If you go in the summertime, you can get a pass to go down to the bottom of the gorge. And the rocks are like natural water slides. And you can ride the river through the gorge. And they're like, all right, we're going to do that. We're going to do Stone Mountain and, you know, some of these other ones. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's do that and explore and get outdoors and not just, you know, but then we've done the Martin Luther King Museum, which was pretty cool, and moving, you know, and some of the other things like that. So it's a fun area, but, you know, like you said, you're called the Atlanta Gladiators, but you're outside of Atlanta a little bit, which is, heck, you can even be in Atlanta and it's going to take you an hour to get to Atlanta is what people tell me all the time. But, you know, you're in a good spot where it's easy to get places. And then, you know, let's not ignore that practice rink, the ice form. I remember when I walked in there the first time, I'm looking at that place going, this was supposed to be the practice rink for the Thrashers. This place is a dump. But the more I go there, it's growing on me. Those horrible tiny locker rooms, you know, it's just the place has got character and I like it. And on top of that, after our beer league games, you know, we might go upstairs to the Breakaway Grill and get some wings because they have really good wings there.
Yeah. Have you been to the where the Thrashers old locker room was?
No, they don't let the beer leaguers in there.
Okay.
So
we went there. It's like TPH thing, right?
Yeah.
TPH it's called.
Yeah.
And we were there for like a week when I got here for the training camp.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty nice, like the setup they used to have.
Yep.
Like, of course, it's a little bit worn down right now, but still it's huge locker room, huge gym. Like for when was it, like 10 years ago?
10 years, maybe, 10, 12 years
maybe 15,
ago. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So I think for that age it was great. And but it is what it is. You know?
Yeah, it's one of those rinks I pulled up. I'm like, what am I getting myself into? And then I walked in there in that first game, I'm like, Jesus, this place is something else. With the more I go there, it, like you said, it's got character. And of all the other rinks in the town, I've been to them all. It's like some of them are newer and have done work. I'm like, no, this is the place I like the most now, because it just, it has character. And I think it's really the people that are there, you know, and the players that are there.
Exactly. And even I have this story about like last year in the LOL, we had this concert or something in our rink in our saga center, and we had to go to this it was like 40 minute drive from the rink to this other community rink, whatever. And it was our you know, like a regular community rink, like it's cold, there's like it's just cold. So, and I remember I had the best day or something like that, or the best weekend before that. I was kind of down on myself, and that kind of cheered me up because I was laughing about it. I was like, this is like going back to your roots, you know, like me and my goalie coach Nelly, we were like talking about it. Like, yeah, back to the roots, baby. And I started buzzing to the practice. I loved it, and it kind of picked me up. And then I remember that weekend I had a great weekend. So even like now when we go to the Ice Forum, of course it's cold and stuff, and we were in Savannah last week, and we had to practice at their practice facility, and the locker room, like we were dressing in like shower area, like they had just a carpet, like a couple chairs in the showers, and we're like, okay, like, and I loved it. I was like, because I was kind of, yeah, like same, like I was like, back to the routes, like this is what we need, like let's go. And it's kind of, you don't find excuses for that, you just kind of, I don't know, like just go with it and have fun with it, you know. And well, I loved it.
And you're remembering, hey, at the end of the day, I get to go out on the ice and play some hockey. You know, it doesn't matter what's beyond the ice. It's, I get to go out on the ice and solve some hockey pucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just, it's that's what it is. Like, you can go on the pond or lake and do the same thing and have so much more fun than going to, I don't know, to a big arena or, I don't know, like...
It's funny. I've had the opportunity to skate in some of the bigger arenas. I skated at Allstate Arena where the Chicago Wolves play. I've skated at 3M Arena, Mariucci, where the Gophers play, and some other places. And it's like, it's cool, but at the end of the day, it's just ice. You know, it's either an NHL sheet or an Olympic sheet. It's, you know, it is what it is, and we're out there having fun.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. But I remember Mariucci, where golfers play. That was my first, like the seats make their logo, you know, like the M.
Yeah.
I remember growing up when I was like 14, 15 years old and seeing that. That was my first introduction to college hockey. And I fell in love with that place.
It's a cool rink.
And the senior year when we went there with Alaska, I remember after practice, I just took a knee in the middle of the ice, and like I was just staring at it, and I was like, I'm here. Like that was my kind of my moment where I was like, oh my God, I'm here. Like I was when I was 14, 15 years old, I remember seeing it and being like, yeah, I want to play college hockey. It'll be so much fun. And now I'm here. And yeah, that arena, I don't know why it's so.
Oh, there's so much history there too. My biggest gripe about that arena though was how high the player benches are. It's like, even when you probably weren't sitting on the bench, but when you sit on the bench, like they're so far off the ground, like my legs were dangling and I'm 5'10", 5'11". It's like, that, it shouldn't be that high off the ground. But
it's better than super low. Because,
yes.
You know, and I don't know if they do that in the US, but I remember, I know in one of the leagues in Europe, I think in England, in Belfast,
mm-hmm.
when we went there to play the French of Four, the opposite team bench, their benches were super low.
On purpose, probably.
On purpose, because once you sit, the once you sit super low, your legs don't recover. So it's like, it's a disadvantage for the away team, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, where in NHL, there's probably regulations about everything, about yep. benches and stuff, but there's a super low one. I think after that, they changed it or something like that. I remember someone was telling me something, but that's so, I was like, that's so hilarious that look at the other guys and the bench is super high and then your bench is like just basically nothing's there. You have to sit on the floor.
Well, you talk about teams doing things intentionally like that. I think it was the University of Iowa for college football. For years, the visiting team's locker room was painted pink and there was no hot water in the showers because they knew it would upset the opposing team players. So they're like, it is what it is. And then too many people complained. And so they had to get rid of the pink. They had to provide hot water. Now, what I hear is the hot water isn't necessarily very hot, but it can be considered hot water.
Okay. I heard this story about the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphin, yep.
Football team where their stadium is built so the opposite team is wearing black and the sun is on them the whole game time or something like that.
Yeah. So the Dolphins always wear their white jerseys. So the other team has to wear their dark jerseys.
Yeah.
And the way the stadium is, the visiting sideline is, as long as it's daytime, always in the sun, where the Dolphins somehow magically are always shaded regardless of where the sun is in the sky. It's like, there's those little things you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to be mindful of time. Every guest I've had on, I've asked the same 10 questions, from youth goalies I've had on to, you know, Stanley Cup winners, gold medal winners, all of that. So the first one is, what is the craziest coaching moment from your playing days where a coach just lost it and, you know, went berserk?
Actually, it just came up the other week and I had a good laugh with my coach about it. It was in Shreveport and our coach, we had to go to World Championships that year with my team Latvia coach. He was coaching in Shreveport as well. And we're down like 3-1 or something like that. And we just killed a 5-on-3 penalty and coach just lost it because we got another penalty. And our coach just took he started throwing like bottles on the ice and everything because he was so like mad about the ref. And before that, he looked at the guys and asked like, are you guys good to do another 5-on-3? And the guys are like, yeah, let's do it. So our coach started throwing like water bottles, like tape, everything. And then our equipment guy, I remember looking at the equipment guy, he was standing on the far side of the bench. And he's like, our coach was like, bring me the sticks. So our equipment guy grabbed like 7 sticks like this, put it right next to the coaches, went to grab another 7 and put it right next to the coach. And coach was slowly putting the sticks. He was like kind of like tossing them like this on the ice. And he's like, and then none of our guys were picking up the stuff. He got kicked out. I was like, got a couple of games of suspension, but that was the craziest moment because I was in the net. I remember I was like laughing. I was like, what's going on? That was one of the craziest moments of the coaches.
Well, at least he asked if you guys were ready for a 5-on-3 because, you know, who knows?
We loved it. And that's the thing. We loved it. That was so great.
Yeah. So the next one is, what is your favorite all-time goalie mask where you're like, that is just pure art right there?
Like mine or in like it could be general?
Could be either. Most guys say in general, but I've had guys answer both ways.
Most iconic one. I would say Henrik Lundqvist's, like maybe 2000. Was it 2012? No, that's too young. Like 2010, in between 2009 and 2010, I think. He's like those New York Rangers masks, which later got painted by, I think, Dave Bauer.
Yeah,
Dave Ard, but I think Bauer like was selling them or something like that. Yep. I remember like the Statue of Liberty, like that, like all that. I think
when you're talking about That makes me wonder, you know, your mask right now is Milwaukee Admirals theme. Who paints your mask? Is that a Dave Art mask or?
No, it's Jason. Jason. I don't want to kind of say his name wrong. Is it Jason Livery Art?
Oh yeah, he's out of down he's south some, now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's. Is it Jason Livery?
Yep. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. In fact, like me, he was originally from Chicago and is now living in the South. Something yes. about winter and us, we don't like it.
This is my second mask from him.
Yeah, he's made some really cool masks. So what is your favorite rink that you've ever played at?
Favorite rink? The first thing comes to my mind right now is TD Garden.
Okay, yeah.
Or no, I didn't have the great run there, but Scotiabank or when it was called Air Canada in Toronto.
Yeah.
But yeah. First one that has a good memories or kind of good memories about it was TD Garden. Yeah.
Okay. So this is one that always throws people for a loop. What's your favorite stick that you've ever used?
Favorite stick?
Yeah.
Actually, this one, my Supreme Mach
Bauer. What do you love about it? Is it just because it's so darn light? And
yeah, it's light. It's comfortable. I love it. I've been always loved the Supreme one, Bauer Supreme sticks. And
okay,
yeah, I would say so.
So, what is your favorite youth hockey memory?
Favorite youth hockey memory is. Definitely my first ever medal that I got when I was six or seven years old. So back home at six, we played on cross ice, but the mm-hmm. big with like regular size nets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Netherlands to play a tournament there. And we, of course, played cross ice. But then we played with the smaller nets and with the blue pucks because back home we played with the black pucks. But they already made the regulation change there where our age had to play with blue pucks and small nets. And I didn't let a single goal in the whole tournament and we won it. And I got my first ever gold medal or medal, like whatever.
Yeah. That's awesome. And every time I show up for Beer League, I see those little nets sitting in the corner. I'm like, could they just put those out for one of our games and see how it goes? I'd feel much better about myself. But I have to ask about hockey in the Netherlands because my grandparents on my mom's side are actually from Holland. My grandpa fought in the war for the Dutch Resistance Army, and we never really talked hockey in Holland. So, you know, how was the hockey scene in the Netherlands? You know, is it just like a niche little sport there or, you know?
I think it's growing. Like I've been only there once in mm-hmm. my hockey term for like hockey. And when I was 6 or 7 years old, so I don't have much knowledge. Yeah. I know my old coach is there. He has good connections there and he coaches there. I think it's growing, of course. I think hockey in general is growing in Europe, but I think it's getting better. I don't want to say much because I have no information about it.
Yeah, when my grandpa would watch us grandkids, he would teach us Dutch. The problem is he only ever taught us the swear words, so that's all I know in Dutch. So, what is the best chirp you've heard on the ice? Off the ice, directed at you, not directed at you? Did it come from you to another player?
Best chirp. The only one that, like, I don't even know. Like, I've heard so many stuff where I know they're not right. I know they're wrong, you know, like,
yeah.
Where I know I've got in their heads, you know, where they say that, oh my God, you're so bad. I was like, the score is zero. Like, we're winning 1-0. I just made the greatest save ever, like, highlight. And you're saying that I'm bad? All right. Like, that's on you. Like, that's a tough one. Like, to think of, The first one probably that comes to my mind is down in when I played in Louisiana. It was the one I heard was, or where are you going next year? Like they're asking, or where are you going? Because some guys were committed to D1 and stuff, and
yeah,
and they're asking where are you going, and they knew that the other guy is not committed.
Yeah,
and at that time I didn't get it. I was like, what do you mean where I'm going? Like, like that. And now I get it why they were asking, because I mean English is my second language, so
yeah,
and I didn't even speak, or I understood it, but like there's so many things that you don't understand, like
yeah,
like phrases and stuff. Maybe that, or I had in the same year in Shreveport, I just came back from the World Junior, or from the like World Juniors, but we played in a lower division, mm-hmm. like step down, and played against France. And there's this player that played for Shreveport. Shreveport's biggest rival was Lone Star, which was in Dallas. And they had this one guy on the team that he couldn't score a goal on me or in that tournament. And when he went back to we played against them a couple weeks later in Lone Star, and they scored a goal on me. It was like score was like, I think we were winning like but 3-1 or something like that. And the guy came up to me, he's like, "Oh, you're so bad, you're so bad." I was like laughing about it, like, because I was the first thing in my mind, I was like, you couldn't score on me. You couldn't score on me then, and you didn't score on me now. You're just telling me this because, like, you know, like you just want to get in my head, like, but you can't. Yeah. Like, so.
There was one of those beer league games where we weren't doing particularly well, and the other team had scored a goal on me, and this guy is just in my face. It's like, you're the worst. You know, you can't stop puck, blah, blah, blah. And I just looked at him and was like, you haven't scored on me yet today. Apparently, I was like, apparently I'm not that bad. And one of his teammates was standing there, just lost it. And this guy's like, he's like, he's got a point. Either he's really, if he's that bad, you must be worse if you can't score on him, buddy.
Like, exactly. Or just, yeah. Or just tell him that, oh yeah, I know I'm bad. Like, I know yeah. I'm bad. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. One time somebody was doing this, like, yeah, that's why I'm playing beer league. You know, I know you're not telling me anything new that my kids don't tell me every day.
We're on the same, ice.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the worst post-game beverage? Usually I ask what's the worst post-game beer, but, you know, I know they typically don't have that in the locker rooms in junior or college hockey or now in the pros. So what's the worst post-game beverage?
Coffee. I love coffee. I'm a calf. Like, I love coffee.
Yeah.
After the game, I can't drink it anymore.
I get that. Well, not only that, but after a game, you know, you've already got that energy rush, which is going to make it hard to sleep, throwing coffee, and might as well not plan on sleeping for the next 2 days.
Exactly. I can have coffee after practice, like after lunch. I usually have coffee after my lunch, but I can't imagine myself having coffee up. Even we had a game at 10:30 the other day, and at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
I usually have coffee after my lunch, but I was like, no, I can't have coffee anymore.
So when you tape your stick, do you go heel to toe or toe to heel?
Toe to heel.
Okay, so you are definitely in the minority of goalies that do that. So, which makes me add to that is, why do you go toe to heel?
Because that's how you do it.
There's a lot of goalies who would disagree with you. And the reason I asked why do you do it that way is I was talking to Connor Beaupre, who is the Minnesota Wild emergency backup, and his dad played in the NHL, Dom Beaupre, and he likes to play the puck a lot. So according to him, the puck comes off his stick better when he goes toe to heel. But you do it that way because you think that's the best way. And we'll let you think that. But I will say that I've had two different guests say that goalies that go toe to heel are psychopaths. I don't know what that says about those two.
but if you, it depends how you shoot. If you shoot like puck from the heel to toe, like try to do that, it doesn't make sense, because once you tape the stick from, let's say you tape the stick from heel to toe, that the next layer kind of goes against the puck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so, if we're talking playing the puck, clearly you've never seen me play the puck. So no, I don't know what you mean, because I'm horrible at it. And when I start on a new team, the first thing I tell my defenseman is, don't expect me to play the puck.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. You know, I try to. I do have 3 assists this season, so I do have that going for me. That's an all-time high. And they're not just the boring, I was the last player to touch it before the goal scorer. One of them was a pretty nice pass. But, yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to it, but I've had enough goalies comment on what is right or wrong. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna ask this to everybody and see what they do. And like you said, the majority go heel to toe. But what I have noticed is more of the younger goalies are going toe to heel. And I think that's because us older goalies started with wooden goalie sticks. And we had to tape up along that heel of the stick to make it last longer. And if you're going to mess up a tape job, you're going to mess it up in that transition of the heel. So I go heel to toe, because like, if I'm going to mess up my tape job, I don't want to waste that whole effort. Let's mess it up in the beginning, not the end. So I think that's why most older goalies did it that way. And as they've taught younger goalies, that's happened, but more of the young goalies are starting to go toe to heel. So we're almost done with the question. Only 2 more. What's your favorite number to wear and why?
Favorite number to wear. I would say, and like 12-year-old me would disagree with me, but 30.
Yeah, right, it's a good number.
Because when I was 12, I wasn't a big fan of 30. I was still when I came to US, I was like, I don't like 30, but it's been working out for me so well. So just 30 for Ollie is the one.
So what would 12-year-old you say to that question?
31.
Okay. So it's not that wildly different, which is the amusing part.
It's different.
No, I know what you say, because there's just something about that feel on the back. You know, that's why I don't like number 1. I feel like there's nothing back there.
I really like number 50 that I was wearing in the juniors back home.
Yeah.
And now for the national team, I'm wearing number 88. And I wore number 1 for 3 years. And now in the US, I'm usually 30, or I'm in Milwaukee, I'm 39. So
that's 39 is my number these days. And that came from college. The senior goalie was wearing 35, which was my number at the time. So I just went to the cabinet and I found the biggest jersey they had. And it happened to be 39. And I played well in it. So as I transitioned to the beer leagues, I kept it.
Yeah. And for me, it was when I got to Shreveport, we played preseason game and I got number 30. And I played well that preseason games, and our coach asked me, what number you want? I was like, what are the choices? He said 1, 30, or like 33 or something. I was like, I played well with the 30. I'll wear that. And then in Alaska, I had no chance, no option really. They said like, yeah, 30 is the only option. And then in Lowell, they asked me what number I want to wear. And I said 30. And I remember, I think, on the email, my equipment guy was like, okay, I'll ask coach if you can wear that. I'm like, why? And then I was looking at the players that wore that number before, and there was Dwayne Rolson, who was wearing 30 in Lowell. So that was a pretty heavy number to have, other than maybe 37 for the goalies there because of the Connor Hellebuck. So I was like, okay, it's a big shoes to fill in that moment, but it all worked out for me.
So the last question, it's my favorite one to ask. What advice do you have for young goaltenders?
For young goaltenders. For young goaltenders, I would say it's work hard and good things will happen. That's for young goaltenders. That's what it was for me.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, if you're not the talent, most talented, you're maybe you're an underdog or someone hasn't seen you or you think no one's watching. You never know. It's just work hard and there might be someone in the stands or whatever, and you never know what you can cross with, who you can cross paths with. So yeah, just work hard and good things will happen.
Well, and that's just good advice for life too. Not just hockey, but life in general.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, and once you kind of, you have that identity or that, you know, yeah, you become, it grows on you where you don't have to remind yourself about it, and you just do the work and don't complain, don't find excuses, just work hard, and then you can look for other ways and other things that will inspire you. And the other one I would say is just that comes a little bit later in life, at least it was for me, is like control what you can control. You can, and like, you can control some stuff and just have to control what you can control. You can't even control the weather. Like in Atlanta, the weather right now is not great. And
yeah, it's
for me to cry about it in my bed and be like super mad about it. I can't do that. So yeah.
Yeah. And you know, your point of control what you can control, that helped me in the beer leagues. Cause I didn't play Division I hockey. I played Division III JV hockey for 4 years, but I still played. And there was still that level of compete in me. And when I got to the beer leagues, and they weren't that good, you know, it was a different level of hockey, and it was getting me upset. It's like, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And finally, on another hockey podcast, I heard the coach say, you know, control what you can control. Don't get upset about the things, you know, if you're a goalie, don't get upset that the breakout's not working properly. Don't get upset that they're not running the proper in zone systems. Focus on stopping the pucks. And it's like, okay. So once I started doing that, it was like, I enjoyed the game more. I had more fun because it didn't matter what the other guys were doing. I couldn't control them. And it's kind of the same thing, you know, in life and work. Like, I just worry about the things I can control, and those that I can't, okay, I'm not going to get too upset about it because there's nothing I can do about it. I can, like you said, I can sit here and cry about it, or I can just, all right, it is what it is. Go on with my life and be happy. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we talked longer than I anticipated and told your PR guy, but as I told him, sometimes the conversation goes well and it goes longer. And he's like, all right, cool. And that's what happened here, but it's been fun talking to you. You know, I doubt it'll happen, but maybe we'll see each other at the ice forum. It'd be fun to run into each other, maybe get on the ice one of these days. You know, maybe the Gladiators need an emergency backup or a practice goalie. I'm always available. Let them know that.
Well, you never know. We already had, I think, 3 emergency goalies called up this year. So
yeah,
you never know what can happen.
Yeah, I'm 20 minutes from Gas South, so if they need, even if it's for practice, if they need somebody, I'm a very good live shooter tutor.
I mean, we're checking the numbers even in beer league, so you never know. Just show up the good numbers, and you never know.
Yeah, and you know, hey, if you're ever looking for adventure around town, but don't want to go solo, I'm still exploring too, so I'm happy to explore some parts of town with you.
All right, good to know. Thanks.
All right. Well, good luck the rest of the season. I'm hoping to get out to another game or two. So if I do, I'm not going to lie, I'll be sitting behind the other goalie because it's more fun to cheer for Gladiator goalies in front of me than it is the opposite. So, but I'll be loud for the period you're in front of me.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good one. And thanks again.
Yeah, thanks you. Thank you. Have a good day. You too.
You too.
Gustavs was a fun goalie to talk to. I hope I get the chance to watch him play in person another time or two this season, and who knows, maybe we'll do some exploring around Atlanta together. Be sure to follow him on Instagram at Gustavs Davis Grigals. Don't worry, I'll have a link in the show notes. You can always find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube simply by searching for Wash Up Goalie and I'll pop up. Visit washupgoalie.com for some great hockey-related content, my Beer League hockey video highlights, and of course, all podcast episodes. If you want some Wash Up Goalie or Tendy Talk apparel, be sure to visit the Threadless shop by clicking the merchandise link on my website. If you like this podcast, go listen to the BLPA Big Show. It's the OG BLPA Podcast Network show where a couple of Beer League players talk Beer League hockey, draft experience shenanigans, and exploits from around the game. Be sure to check out the full lineup of hockey-related podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. Shows like the Brave Wild Podcast, the Devil's State of Mind Podcast with episode 58 guest Neil Villapiano, and the Devil's Puck Luck Podcast can all be found. I need to thank the band Zambonis for allowing me to use their music on my episodes. You can download their music on iTunes or listen wherever you stream music from. I'm always working on lining up other goalies to talk to. If you are a goalie or have connections to a goalie who you think I should talk to, shoot me an email at washupgoalie39@gmail.com or send me a DM on social media. And let's not forget, if you're a brand that wants to sponsor the show, be sure to reach out to me. Be happy to talk. And finally, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on the podcast platform you're listening on. It's a quick action on your part that helps others find Tendy Talk. So, until next time, keep your stick on the ice and your body square to the puck.
Good news.
Well, Dave.